A 12-year-old Florida girl committed suicide last month. She jumped off a silo after she was bullied by two classmates, reportedly over a boy. Since then, a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old girl were charged with aggravated stalking for the alleged bullying, which included Facebook comments like, "You seriously deserve to die. Nobody cares about you. Why aren't you dead? And go kill yourself." I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, October 28th. Last week, on what would have been Rebecca Sedgwick's 13th birthday, her mother posted a message to her on Facebook. "I'm doing my very best to make sure other parents are made aware of how serious a problem bullying is. I am also working hard to make sure those that wronged you pay a price for what they did to you." Well, we will talk about the problem of bullying this hour and whether this case in Florida will be a turning point. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Dr. Paula Cody, an assistant professor in the Department of Pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, who has a specialty in adolescent medicine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you were recommended to us when we were looking for a guest to talk about this issue. Is this an issue that you've studied, you've researched?
Well, it's a very prominent problem in the adolescent population, so anyone who does training in pediatrics and adolescent medicine becomes an expert very quickly.
Well, it is such a sad case. First off, what is the definition of bullying?
Bullying is an unwanted aggressive behavior among school-aged children that involves a real or perceived power imbalance. This behavior is usually repeated or has the potential to be repeated over time.
Yeah. How is bullying different today, if it is, than it was back when somebody called me Four Eyes when I was in grade school?
Yeah, you're right. Well, kids have been bullying each other for generations. The latest generation has been able to utilize technology to expand their reach and to the extent of their harm, which is cyberbullying, which I'm sure we'll discuss at some point during this hour.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what happened here is a lot of cyberbullying, a lot of very horrible comments posted on this girl's Facebook page. It's mean, and they are horrible comments, but... This is not just kids will be kids?
No. The cyberbullying, it's just utilizing the technology that is very prevalent for today's kids. Bullying in general has three main types, either verbal, social, and physical. And cyberbullying is verbal and or social aggression carried out through technology.
Yeah. And I would assume that being on a Facebook page, too, it's not just like somebody in the hallway, called you a name. It's there for everybody to see.
Right. Cyberbullying has a couple ways that it is a little different than the traditional bullying. Cyberbullying is available 24/7. Kids have constant access to their technology. Cyberbullying also allows it to be anonymous, and victims do not always know who the bully is or why they're being targeted, because that cyberbully can cloak their identity behind the computer or the cell phone using anonymous email addresses or pseudonyms.
Yeah. Well, again, we don't have to go through every detail of this case, but again, it was reportedly over a boy who dated one of the girls and then showed affection to another girl, the girl who was bullied, and the 12-year-old and 14-year-old classmates were posting these comments on Rebecca's Facebook page. Rebecca ended up jumping off a silo after this had gone on for some time. Both of the girls have been charged with aggravated stalking. How unusual is this?
That's a very unusual. In my quick lit search, that's the first time I've seen that specific charge brought up.
Yeah, but are usually young people charged with something if something like this happens?
Specifically cyberbullying can be very difficult because there's not a lot of people, or it's very hard to decide whose jurisdiction cyberbullying is. It's, if it doesn't happen on school grounds, it's hard for the school to follow up with this. And a lot of times the law enforcement also has difficulty following up with cyberbullying.
Yeah, apparently the arrest came this month when the 14-year-old girl who was charged actually posted a comment on her own page saying, I did bully Rebecca, and I don't care, though she used an expletive in saying so. So the sheriff said that was, he just couldn't ignore that.
Right.
Yeah, well, what about the parents? Do parents bear any responsibility, the parents of the bullies?
Well, this is a very, very tricky subject. I don't think there's any clear-cut answer. A lot of people do believe that with cyberbullying, it's usually the parents who are providing their young teenagers with the smartphone, and they're also the one providing the internet access, and that if they're the ones providing these, they should be monitoring the children a little bit better. But it's very hard to blame any one person. It's also even hard to blame the bully, which I'm sure a lot of people are going to cringe. But the bullies also, they need help. And blaming them sometimes actually is a problem because it shuts down the conversation. And parents of people who bully may be less likely to come forward because they're afraid that their own child will get prosecuted instead of getting the help that they need.
Yeah. Well, why do these kids who bully need help? What's causing them to bully?
It's such a complex issue. Kids who bully a lot of times have been bullies themselves. That's called bully victims. That's a very, very common that they are in this situation the bully, but in other situations they've been the victim. They a lot of times have struggles at home just like other teens, and they have improper coping skills.
Yeah. And are they in any way modeling behavior?
Absolutely could be. Not all the time, but sometimes they are.
Yeah. Well, what about parents? Parents should be monitoring their children's social networking all the time to see if something like this is going on?
That's a personal belief I have, and I'm not sure how popular of a belief it is. If you ask a bunch of different people, you'll get a bunch of different answers. But I do feel that the kids at this age don't have the development of the prefrontal cortex, so a lot of their actions, they can't actually decide what the consequences will be, and they don't have that foresight. And the parents who should have their prefrontal cortex should be the ones guiding them through this issue or guiding them through their teen years and helping them to make proper decisions. And I do think it is important for parents to at least be aware of their kids' internet activity and step in if they see some warning signs that their kid may be a bully or a victim of bullying.
Well, how unusual is it that we have someone actually taking his or her own life because, well, in this case, she was bullied?
Mm-hmm. Well, that, again, very, very complex, the relationship between bullying and suicide. It's a common link, especially in the recent past. But most youth who are bullied do not have thoughts of suicide or engage in suicidal behaviors. Kids who are bullied they are at risk of suicide. But bullying alone is not usually the cause. Usually, there's also some underlying depression or problems at home or trauma history. And suicide has been the number three cause of death in teenagers for the past several decades. So the suicide is not new. And I think it's just looking for an answer, and bullying right now is what people are attributing to the suicides.
Yeah, there's also we see, in fact, several cases in the past month of kids at school pulling out a gun, and in one case in Nevada, the shooter who shot a teacher and a couple of students was saying, "Why are you laughing at me? Why are you laughing at me?" Apparently making people believe that he had been bullied.
Mm-hmm. And again, bullying may be a part of what was going on, but it's typically not the sole reason of any outburst like that or a suicidal act. It's usually a whole multitude of things that bullying was a small part of.
Yeah, it's not the bullying alone, but the bullying plays a part.
It can play a part, yes.
Yeah. Well, why is bullying such a problem, and why are we're paying a lot of attention to it these days? This is actually Bullying Awareness Month.
It is. October is National Bullying Awareness Prevention Month, I believe. It is a problem because of it, how prevalent it is. It's very common in national stats. I think about 30% of kids in the past year have, under the age of 18, have experienced some form of bullying. And you can even break that down if you look closer at Wisconsin stats. In Wisconsin itself, 24% of teenagers were bullied on school property during the past 12 months, and 16.6% have been electronically bullied in the 12 months prior.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk more about how we might prevent more of this bullying as we continue talking about bullying and who's responsible and whether there ought to be more parental responsibility in cases of bullying. And we welcome your questions. We welcome your experiences. Maybe you were bullied as a child, or maybe your child is the victim of bullying. 1-800-642-1234. What did you do about it? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What are your thoughts about this this recent case in Florida when she was a 12-year-old at the time, committed suicide after being bullied? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Dr. Paula Cody, an assistant professor in the Department of Pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about bullying. We're talking about the problem of bullying, the prevention of bullying, and who's responsible for when bullying turns tragic, including this teenager who committed suicide last month after being bullied in Florida. There is some wondering if the parents should be held responsible. The two who were the bullies, a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old girl, were charged with aggravated stalking for the alleged bullying. Well, what questions do you have about this? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you think the two girls who bullied this 12-year-old who committed suicide should be charged with felonies? That's what they were charged with, aggravated stalking. Should their parents be charged as well or held liable in some case? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's take our first caller, Elise in Racine. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a comment. I do believe that parents do have a responsibility in, at the very least, monitoring what their children are doing on the Internet. I actually, with my 12-year-old and 15-year-old, forbid them from having Facebook pages, not only because it's easy to talk about other kids and not knowing or being mature enough to talk about other kids in a way that doesn't look like bullying or could very easily become bullies, but to keep them from being bullied. And for me, that's a part of my protecting my children from being in a place that they could become victims.
I'm glad
my heart goes out to that family.
Yeah, I'm so glad you called, Elise. Do you get any blowback from your kids for not letting them have Facebook pages?
You know what? That's too bad. Mm-hmm. It's my job. And it's a really good thing that I have a dear friend of mine that can completely hack into what they're doing and what's coming from their computer. Just like I feel like it's my job occasionally to completely go through their entire rooms to make sure that they are making good decisions. And they may not be making, they may not understand or even know that they're making poor decisions. So it's my job, whether they like it or not, because I love them.
Thank you for calling. Dr. Cody, a reaction?
Oh, I think that Elise is doing a great job, and I wish that all parents would pay attention. One of the problems is that most of the kids are one step ahead of us when it comes to technology. So even if we ban their Facebook page, then the next social media site is on the horizon that we haven't even heard of. So I think that's great that you are monitoring. Another really important thing is making sure you have open the lines of communication so that if your children are experiencing some form of bullying, that they feel comfortable coming to talk to you and that they won't get blown off. Because connectedness with parents is a protective factor for against bullying.
Yeah. And do you have general advice about for parents who I know a parent who resisted the Facebook page for her children for some time, but now they are mid-teens, and she said, yeah, fine. Is there a certain age that kids should be on Facebook or not?
Well, Facebook themselves has rules as far as how old you can be to have a page, but those are, you just basically have to enter your year, so it's very easy to fake that. As much as we like to vilify the social media, it does serve an important role for these teenagers. This is allowing them to form relationships and talk with people that they never would get to talk to or in person, and it helps them develop the social skills. And so as much as we love to vilify it, there are more benefits to the Internet than there are risks, I believe. But it is important for the parents just to pay attention to make sure that they open the lines of communication so their children feel comfortable discussing with them any concerns that they have.
Let's take another call from Barbara in Richland Center. Hi, Barbara.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to comment. My daughter had placed a post, this was a couple of years ago, on her Facebook page, and the school district felt that it was bordering on bullying. She didn't name the other student, but they, had contacted me and said, we don't think this is appropriate. So I felt that there was my responsibility as a parent to say, you need to take that down and let's not go there again. I just think that the parents truly have a responsibility. We chose to have these children. And like your last caller, if you're not involved in your child's life, you're not going to know what's going on. There was more to that. The parent of the other girl had actually come to school and followed my daughter around from class to class. And I thought the school district should have stepped in with that, but they didn't. I just think that the school district did the right thing by contacting me, because my perception of what my child was doing wasn't the same as what this other child was. And I think that we need to take that communication that we have and keep it open and then follow up.
Well, Barbara, thank you for calling. And I don't mean to pry too much, but I just want to understand that your daughter responded on Facebook to some girl who was following her around from class to class.
It started in the lunchroom, and then my daughter placed the post because of the interaction that happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she actually initiated the post. But when I approached her about it, we talked about it, and she pulled it down. But the mom came then and followed my daughter.
Oh, well, so in any case, we have here a case where the school district must have been made aware of this post in this situation, Dr. Cody, and the school district asked the parent to take it down. Is that something that is typical?
I'm glad that the school district did that, and thank you for sharing that story. Jurisdiction over the Internet can be very tricky, and not all school districts do feel comfortable involving themselves in something that does not take place on school grounds.
Yeah, but schools have to be careful, too, because they can be held. There have been cases. I remember this was years and years ago in Ashland. A school district was found liable in civil court for the bullying that had taken place against a young boy who was gay or perceived gay, and they got a big there was a big judgment placed against them. So schools have to be careful about this too, don't they?
Absolutely. Schools need to be aware of what behavior is going on in their students, but I'm not sure that many schools have any person who is dedicated to patrolling their students while they're not on the school grounds. And it's difficult to keep a school to hold a school liable for something that they are not aware of and that did not occur on their grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I believe that each school district and each situation is very individual, and in some aspects the school has been found liable, and in some cases they haven't been.
Well, we have just a minute before a news break, and we'll follow up after news, but what needs to be done to prevent bullying?
Well, first of all, more research into this needs to be done. There isn't any one best way to prevent bullying. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction does have on their website model programs that schools should use in order to teach effective relationships and anti-bullying. But zero tolerance policies have not been shown to work. And as far as what does work, more research is definitely needed.
We will continue talking about bullying, its causes, its consequences, how to prevent it. Who should be responsible? Should young teens, or barely teens, a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old, were charged with felonies in Florida for their alleged bullying, their Facebook comments that led to a 12-year-old girl committing suicide in Florida? What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about bullying this hour, its causes, its consequences, the efforts to stop it, and whether this case in Florida involving a 12-year-old who committed suicide last month after being cyberbullied by two classmates will be a turning point. The 12-year-old and 14-year-old alleged bullies in this particular case have been charged with felony aggravated stalking. And reportedly, the Florida authorities are looking into whether the parents of these bullies also bear some responsibility and should be charged. What do you think? Should parents be held responsible? Should children this young be charged if their actions or words lead to somebody taking his or her own life? We welcome your thoughts and your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Dr. Paula Cody, an assistant professor in the Department of Pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. She has a specialty in adolescent medicine. And we have other callers, so let's go to Rick in New Berlin next. Hello, Rick.
Hello. Yes, I was bullied as a child, and I just want to point out that there's a new kind of bullying that takes place. And it's a big misconception about the old schoolyard bully that, you know, gets picked on, and then they pick on someone smaller than them. When I was growing up, it was usually the parents, the way they instilled values in their kids and made their kids feel that they were better than other kids. And so I was bullied for maybe not having the right genes or my look was different. And that's a big issue, and that does fall back on the parents and how we raise our children and how our children treat other kids at school and how they view kids that are different. You know, an example would be, you know, what message are you sending your kids if you're teaching your kids that having the right car is the most important thing? So when they go to school and they see someone that, you know, doesn't have the things that they have, do they judge that kid or how do they treat that kid, you know?
Yeah. And Rick, thank you for sharing what happened to you. It's a different type of bullying that I wasn't really thinking about here. But how did you react to it? What did you do about it?
Unfortunately, you know, mine was, it's more of a group thing. So usually you get one kid, then it's usually the, you know, it was more of the popular kids, and then they would gang up. And then what basically I just fought back physically. And, you know, I became a fighter. And you know, that does carry with you for the rest of your life, the way you resolve conflicts and things. But it just got to a point where I had to, you know, teachers weren't doing anything and kids were getting physical at me, and I had to stand up for myself because it just got that bad where, you know, to the point where I'd be crying. And, you know, you get to be in middle school and, you know, your self-esteem and girls and all that kind of stuff, and you're getting bullied in front of other people. I just chose to fight back. That's what I did.
Well, Dr. Cody, what's your reaction to Rick's story?
Yeah, thank you for sharing your story, Rick. You are absolutely right that bullying has changed and that the days of the schoolyard fights are different. It, like you had said, people tend to, or the kids tend to bully someone who they feel is different, but there is no single factor that puts any specific child at risk for being bullied or bullying others. It can happen anywhere in the city, suburbs, or rural towns, and there are some groups that tend to be a little bit more bullied because they tend to be seen as outsiders, including the LGBT youth, youth with disabilities, and any socially isolated youth. But there is no single risk factor that puts a child at risk for being bullied.
Yeah. Oh, I'm wondering, Rick thought it was the values that the parents were instilling in the alleged bullies. Here he was getting picked on for not having, I guess, the right pair of jeans on.
Right. And parents are responsible for helping their kids, for like you had mentioned early in the show, Joy, modeling appropriate behavior. And, again, teaching their kids how to deal with certain situations, including stressful situations, how to, if you are feeling different, how you can put your best face forward. Parents are responsible for helping children learn how to cope with certain situations, and both for people who are bullied and people who are bullies.
And what we saw here, and again, I thank Rick for the call, is that he ended up saying that he reacted by to these, you know, mean words that sounded like it started escalating into some physical bullying too, but he became a fighter. He fought back.
Right. And that's fairly common. Those, as many videos as we've seen of bullying, we've seen videos on YouTube of the people who are being bullied fighting back, and those have been a popular thing on YouTube as well.
Yeah. Well, let's take another call. Thanks again, Rick. Chris in Maguanago is with us. Hello, Chris.
Hi there. I have feelings about this where the way the children in Florida are being treated is smacks of tough love to me. I totally believe in that. I believe, too, that the parents should be treated with tough love by the sheriff who's considering prosecuting the parents. I find this story and all of the stories about suicide to be like, I'm just grief-stricken when I hear this. And if I was the parent of the child in question, the bully child, I would be taking a leave of absence from work in order to re-educate my child and to teach, not just to teach don't bully, but to teach the positive value of respect and ask myself and my child, where did we not teach you respect, and let's start now. I would be taking time off of work to stay home with my child to make sure my child isn't just feeling and acting defensive, but is admitting that, yes, I have a responsibility. I'm going to face up to this. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to do better and be better. I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to learn to be respectful. Better late than never.
Thank you, Chris. It is very sad. What should parents do, Dr. Cody, to, I don't know, to make sure that their children don't become bullies?
Again, opening, it is important for the parents to have an open line of communications and to make sure that their children feel comfortable talking with them. This is important both for parents of the kids who are bullied and parents of kids who are bullies themselves, that, like your caller just said, creating an environment of respect and making sure that the parents create an open line of communication. The school district also should, like I said earlier, the zero tolerance policies and expulsion have not been shown to be effective in preventing bullying, but what is effective is attacking bullying from all angles and, again, teaching an environment of respect.
What should a parent do if you suspect or know that your child is the victim of a bully or bullies?
If your child is a victim of bullies, again, making sure that you have the open line of communication so your child tells you these details and really examine what is going on. A lot of stuff is labeled bullying that is not truly bullying. Again, we have to go back to that definition that it is repeated, it's aggressive, it's unwanted, and making sure we're not labeling things as bullying that is not truly bullying and giving parents the support that they need so they can help their own child.
If it's just a one time, you're ugly, that's not bullying.
But it's not considered bullying, no.
Yeah. Do you think that this case in Florida is going to be, I don't know, I say a turning point, that we're going to be viewing bullying and its consequences differently after this?
That's fairly tough. There's been quite a few prominent bullying mm-hmm. cases leading to suicide in the past few years. We had Phoebe Prince in 2010. We had Jamie Rademeyer in 2011 and Megan Meyer in 2006. All of those had similar media attention as this case is getting now. And it needs to be an ongoing discussion.
Mm-hmm. Were in those cases, were the bullies prosecuted?
In Megan Meyer's case, she was the Missouri teen who hung herself right before her 14th birthday in 2006 due to a neighborhood mom creating a fake Facebook page.
Oh, that's right.
Lori Drew, I believe, was the name of that mom. She was the mom of a former friend of Meyer's. And Lori Drew was initially found guilty, but her conviction was overturned.
And that mom faced some sort of charge because she did that, didn't she?
Right. She was indicted in 2008, but I believe the verdict was overturned in 2009.
Yeah.
And again, the Phoebe Prince people were prosecuted. I think there was a group of students at her high school that were prosecuted.
Let's go to Cindy in Madison next. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to say Dr. Cody was talking about how there might be something going on at home with the bullies themselves that are making them behave this way. And I think that perhaps having court-ordered counseling would be a good way to go, because obviously something is going on there. And in this case, I find it very just kind of curious as to how one of these bullies got back on Facebook and said, "I don't care." And that's really disturbing to me. So something is going on there with the parents. I don't think that charging them is necessarily going to help, but court-ordered counseling, I think, would be to follow them through to, you know, when the children are of legal age.
Yeah, Cindy is referring to the 14-year-old, again, reportedly went back on Facebook after the suicide and said, yes, I bullied Rebecca and I don't care. And that's what led to her arrest and charge. Interesting to note that her father was trying to give her an alibi, saying, well, I was at home and she didn't post this, and she must have been, you know, had her Facebook account hacked by someone. So he was trying to protect her. He was trying to give her an alibi for that. So we don't know exactly what happened there. But what about the court-ordered counseling, Dr. Cody?
Oh, that's very interesting. And I do feel that would be difficult, because there, for the amount of people already in the mental health system, there's not enough providers and there's a backlog. And I do find it's interesting. I actually think therapy should be mandatory for everyone to help develop appropriate coping skills. But especially in these cases, I find it interesting. I don't find that that's feasible. But I do want to touch on something that your caller had said. She said something must have been going on with the family. And I do believe one of the mothers was also arrested on a separate charge, one of the mothers of the...
Yeah, in an unrelated case, was charged with some sort of child abuse charge.
Right. So she was a video of her in a fight with young boys, I believe.
That's right. We are talking about bullying and who's responsible and how to prevent bullying. Our conversation follows this tragic case in Florida last month. A teenager committed suicide after being bullied by two classmates. And there is a lot of debate and discussion going on about what this case means and who should be responsible. The teens have been charged with felonies. the Florida authorities are considering whether there should be any charges against the parents. What do you think? What questions do you have for our guest, Dr. Paula Cody, who is an assistant professor in the Department of Pediatrics at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about bullying for the rest of this hour with Dr. Paula Cody from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. And our next caller is Dale in Jefferson. Hello, Dale.
Yo. I guess I believe the old school way. First, you're a parent, and I don't believe anybody under 16 or 18 needs a cell phone with all the media and social stuff on it. You wouldn't have the videos on YouTube for them to, well, let's try and beat that one. There's just no reason for it. And if they're going to be on your computer, they're sitting in the same room with the parents, and the parents know what they're doing. So it falls back on the parents. It's not the kids' fault. The parents give them free rein for everything.
Mm-hmm. And
so, you know, I was bullied as a kid. I was the big dude, you know. Once you do finally catch up with the guy and take him by surprise and you're sitting on his chest, he's not very tough anymore. He just uses words, and it pretty much solves the problem. Or you get a couple of your friends to back you up, and, you know, it doesn't have to get physical, but you learn to deal with it, and man, in the end, it makes you a stronger person when it comes to dealing with conflict and at work and everything. So, It does boil down to the parents, is, you know, get the cell phones out of their hands till they're 16 or 18, and they're a little more responsible and they actually know what they're doing with them.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Dale, and I really do. We'll talk. We'll get our guests to react, but I'm curious. Thanks for sharing your story about being bullied. There were no cell phones or social media back then, and bullies, you know, you still had the bullying going on. So what about that?
Well, you did, but it didn't escalate to this. I mean, there are maybe 3-4 people, a handful of people heard what somebody was saying to you. Today, the kids aren't bright enough to keep it at that level. They've got to brag to all their friends and the world that they're giving somebody a bunch of crap or a hard time or bullying them.
Mm-hmm.
It just grows. I had 10 minutes on the phone every night. That was it. And too bad. You watched what mom and dad wanted to watch. You only had one TV, and they knew what you were doing. So,
yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Dale. Lots of interesting things. We did talk about that cyberbullying today can be much different than the bullying of yesteryear, Dr. Cody. But what's your reaction to Dale's story?
I do appreciate Dale's his vigor and his thank you for sharing your story. I do think that it is different, and like he had mentioned, that cyberbullying is now viral, that when something used to happen between two people with a small audience, the bystanders, now the bystanders can number in the hundreds because of how visible the bullying is when it's online. I don't disagree at all that parents should take more responsibility for their kids' electronic use and pay more attention. And we always try to say that keeping the computer in the common room so you know what your kid is doing is an important thing. But I'm with the prevalence of today's technology, I'm not sure how. I think my message is falling on deaf ears a lot of times.
Yeah. What about, though, if, you know, Dale says that being teased because he was a big guy he had some supporters. He ended up sitting on this guy's chest, apparently. But said it doesn't have to be physical. This teaches kids how to be strong if they're bullied.
Again, making sure we're using the proper term for bullying, that it's repeated and aggressive. Sometimes bullying. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but bullying does teach kids how to deal with certain situations and how to react when things are going their way. I'm not, again, not condoning bullying, mm-hmm. but there is something to be said about kids learning how to interact with other people and how to overcome adversity. But again, not condoning bullying. We just need to make sure that we are accurate when we're using the term bullying and not labeling other things as bullying when they are not truly bullying.
Yeah. We have an email from Kent. Do bullies typically grow out of this cruel behavior or continue to treat others badly as adults?
Well, there are some long-lasting effects to bullying for both the bullies, the bully victims, and even the bystanders. People who are bullying have been shown to have problems with alcohol use later on. Some of them are, or they've been shown they're more likely to be labeled with antisocial personality disorder. They are more likely to have depression and anxiety, just like the people who are bullied are more likely to have depression and anxiety down the road.
Let's go to Karen in Ashland next. Hello, Karen.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, thanks for calling, Karen. I understand that you're concerned that maybe your son could be the victim of a bully?
He is. I mean, he's 13, and he's been bullied and picked on pretty much since the age of 6. And I was just, you know, being a concerned parent, what sort of signs should I be looking for that would be red flags or concerns that maybe, emotionally he's not doing very well?
For kids who are bullied, there are some risk signs to look for. A lot of times they have some health complaints, a lot of abdominal pain or headaches, and they're not wanting to go to school. And if you feel that you see that your child is having more health complaints and having a harder time going to school, that is something you want to investigate further. Is this truly something that's organic going on? Is this physiological, or is this something that's emotional and something is going on at school that is making your kid not want to go to school? Also looking for feelings of depression, anxiety, and are they getting more withdrawn? Is there any substance use that you're concerned about? Or paying attention to any difference in your child's behavior?
Well, we have less than a minute to go, Dr. Cody. Is there a quick lesson to be learned here, or what do you hope we take away from this latest case of tragic bullying?
Taking away that bullying is common, and more research needs to be done on the proper ways to prevent it altogether, but making sure that parents open the lines of communication, make sure that they are paying attention to what their children do online, because you may be able to find out your kid is being bullied or being the bully itself.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Paula Cody, an assistant professor in the Department of Pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production. And, of course, thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.